And if he speaks to you, you know what to do. Pretend to be scared and answer his questions.
Yeah, I don't have to pretend. I'm scared right now.
There's a first time for everything.
You sure he'll come? It's getting late.
He'll come all right. Doesn't matter how late it is. We'll be here waiting. Go ahead, peek behind the curtains.
I'll do more heat and preach nonviolence. He about to start speech, come on, silence. On one starry night, I saw the light. Heard a voice that sound like Barry White. Said, sure you're right. Don't let me find out who tried to bite. They better off going to fly a kite in a firefight. During tornado time with no coat, then I caught you. Wrote the book, more rhymes, a note from the author.
Come back here!
Got a breadwinner style, they get an inner child to feel a smile. And that's no exaggeration. The doctor told the patient, it's all in your imagination, Negro. Ah, what do he know about the buttery flow? He need to cut the ego. Tripping. To date the metal fellow, been ripping flow since New York plates was ghetto yellow with broke blue writing. This is too exciting. Folks leave out the show feeling truly enlightened. They say the villain been spitting enough lightning to rock shock the boogie down to Brighton. Alright then.
Wake up, huh? You've been dreaming a bit, and I got bruises to prove it.
It was all a dream? You're not dead?
Not that I heard. Am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to?
Yes, it was all a dream. It was so real.
Skill number 95. Got a bit of having done something here on Bad News Ramen. Maybe it was all a dream of Roman Reigns getting booed at one Royal Rumble. The crowd turned on him, and now everything's up for grabs. Everybody's all mad, and people are rioting and canceling their WWE subscriptions and stuff. And what's your whole take on this whole thing? Were you surprised when they started booing him? Has it been building up, or is it just a spur of the moment thing?
So I think it's been building up, but I was surprised because I hadn't seen it building at the at the live shows. But ever since he's come back, I've been saying in here, people on the internet have been seeming to be against him and kind of talking about him like he's basically John Cena 2.0, which I don't really get. Considering where that Royal Rumble was held, being in Philadelphia, I think that's a lot of the reason why.
Were they once booed Santa Claus?
Yes. But it's like a football thing. But yeah, I mean,
get all mad about it, dude.
Yeah.
Santa's just a mark, you know.
Santa's a mark. So yeah, being that it was in Philadelphia, I think to say if he's gonna get booed hard somewhere, that's probably gonna be the place where it's gonna happen. It's hard to tell if it's how much of it's about Roman Reigns and how much of it was anger over Daniel Bryan. And I think that's kind of where it gets weird, because there's that point when Reigns is getting beaten by Show and Kane and they're booing. And I'm like, okay, they're booing the authority. And then Reigns turns around, and they're booing just as loud. I'm like, no, they're just booing the whole thing. So they did kind of, in a way, hijack the show. And I don't have any problem with that. That's their right to do it. And I think there's certain things that they can be mad about. I think there's certain valid points to be disappointed with in the Rumble. But I'm really surprised that they turned that strongly against Reigns. By you, how surprised were you on that?
I was pretty surprised. I mean, I think it started when he won Wrestler of the Year, and then all the smarks came out and said that he didn't have a full year and he shouldn't be Wrestler of the Year, and that he's getting pushed on us and stuff and everything of being Wrestler of the Year or whatever it is. A couple things with that. I mean, we don't know if the voting's legit for the Slammy, so and that's one thing.
What? How dare you besmirch the credibility of the WWE voting?
Well, you've brought that up before, saying that it's fixed. I was kind of thinking about it, and it's funny because last year at the Rumble, everybody wanted Roman Reigns to win because he was throwing everybody out. He had a ton of momentum. And I was kind of trying to make a correlation, and it was kind of funny to me. I mean, Brian got kicked out pretty fast, so he wasn't in the Rumble for that long. The guy that I got upset about, two guys that I got upset about, was when Bray got kicked out, because he was the one that was throwing everybody out, and he had a ton of momentum. He gained a ton of momentum in that match, and I think that he should have been the one to win, so I was kind of disappointed in that. And at the same time, I think Dolph was the other one that I kind of got upset about, too, because he was having a ton of momentum before. And it's like, so you take Dolph Ziggler off 2 weeks for TV, and, you know, it gives him the opening to win the Rumble, and he has a ton of momentum already. It's just kind of like in the process of Dolph Ziggler, you know, becoming a main event player. That would have been the perfect opportunity for him to win, because he had the great Survivor Series run. He was really hot before he got kicked off air. So now it's just kind of like the same thing. You're just kind of scratching your head going, okay, what's going on here? And Roman Reigns kind of played the Batista role, where it wasn't determined coming in, like this Rumble wasn't determined coming in that Reigns was going to win. Now, he was one of probably the top three favorites. And when Daniel Bryan got kicked out, then you're kind of going, okay, it's between the smart fan or the fan that really watches wrestling going, okay, Bray Wyatt deserves to kind of maybe win this Rumble because he had the best showing. I mean, he carried that Rumble for the first 10, 15 minutes and just kicking everybody out. It was like a video game, you know, like when you're playing a Royal Rumble on a video game, and you can, if you're a good player, you can just have one-on-ones the whole time. And then when like a big guy comes out, like a guy that has a great player rating, like a 99 player rating, he's not going to get thrown out so fast. And then you build up and more people come in. And then once he got kicked out, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, there's Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose and there's Dolph as well. Well, when Dolph gets thrown out, you're like, oh shit, you know, here it comes. I mean, if anybody thinking that it was between Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, and they thought that maybe Dean Ambrose had a chance, I mean, you're kidding yourself. I mean, once that happens, you know that Roman Reigns is going to do it. And then you kind of have The Rock, and The Rock tries to save him, and it doesn't really happen. And it's just like a perfect storm for people to get really mad. And I personally think that everybody was following kind of what Philly was doing, and Philly was really, really pushing the envelope. And we've said it on this podcast before, where it's like, okay, the fans can kind of should dictate, you know, if they're unhappy or unhappy. I just really thought it was a snowball effect. I thought I got really out of hand. And at the same time, it's like you're there's always crying about a new guy should be in the main event picture. Well, you got a new guy in the main event picture, a guy that's fun to watch. And now it's like, oh, Roman Reigns only has like four moves or this. I was like, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, this guy, before he got hurt, was one of the hottest guys around. Now you're gonna like try to put him in a John Cena mold. I just don't agree with it.
Yeah, and like for a year and a half, like he was everything that the internet wrestling community, if you will, was saying they wanted to see, and they were supporting him and the Shield 100%. And now all of a sudden he finally gets there. It's almost like lends credence to some of the things that like the mentality that Triple H and Vince McMahon has when they finally take a guy that's new, that's hot, that people have been behind. And they finally put him up there, and then, oh, well, the people still aren't happy. And, I mean, I understand, like, there's kind of this crazy thing going on with Daniel Bryan momentum, right? And I think, ultimately, that place was going to be dissatisfied if anybody but Daniel Bryan won. And I think there's a lot of people that felt that way, and that's kind of, they kind of pinned now by doing this, it's not necessarily WWE's fault, but they've made it so it's now become Roman Reigns against Daniel Bryan. And that's kind of unfortunate. That's going to be very unfortunate for Roman Reigns. But at the same time, I think they also fall victim to the idea that, like, last year when Reigns, like you said, had all the momentum, they didn't take advantage. And the other thing last year when Daniel Bryan had a ton of momentum going, they didn't take advantage either. And now they want to go back and pick up with the momentum that Reigns had going last year, and people aren't happy because it's right as Daniel Bryan's coming back. They would have been much better off really holding Daniel Bryan out a little bit longer And I think, like, I had read some people kind of saying that it was a tough spot for WWE to be in putting Daniel Bryan in the match, because if they put him in the match, Daniel Bryan has to win. And I didn't really feel that way until I saw the match and saw the reaction. And they also, not just that Daniel Bryan didn't win, but they made him look pretty bad. Like, he could have been the guy. When I think, as much as you're right, Bray Wyatt carried that show, they could have had Daniel Bryan be the guy that carried that match, be the workhorse, last a long time, and then if he gets eliminated, at least it tells a really good story, and it gives, like, the crowd that wanted Daniel Bryan to do something to say, yeah, well, you know, at least he put on a really good match. And I think they tried to make Daniel Bryan as much of an afterthought as they could in the match, just because he wasn't going to win it. I think that's where they kind of messed up. And Dolph Ziggler, too, is like, you're going to put him in at number 30, that, and then he gets eliminated really quickly. That doesn't make him look too good either. And I agree, you know, Bray did really well, but I thought his elimination was kind of anticlimactic, right? I would have rather have had something, like, really big happen to eliminate Bray, because I thought, you know, I think he comes out one of the big winners out of that match, but it's not, like, a big moment because of the way that he got eliminated. So, I don't know. Like, a lot of opportunities seem like they miss. I thought the match was pretty decent overall, but I think, I don't know, there's some opportunities they had to capitalize and, like, get certain momentum from some guys, some things that they need to realize if they actually care about what the fans want to do, or, you know, want to see happen, and they need to pay attention a little bit.
I think a couple things with this is that you don't have a good heel with anybody. I mean, Rusev is a good heel, but he's a protected heel, and the main two guys that try to be the heel were the Big Show and Kane, and there's not enough hate or vitriol from them for the crowd to kind of start cheering for Roman Reigns. I mean, if you had, like, a really good heel in place, someone that you didn't want to see win, because you knew the Big Show and Kane were a package deal. You knew that, not, you know, one of them, you know, the way they're working together and stuff, they needed one more guy. You know, like, you needed, like
Seth Rollins,
where's Randy Orton? Yeah, you needed to have some type of element there. Those two guys by themselves aren't monster heels by any doubt. And then your other heel is technically Brock Lesnar, but then they have a three-way match, which was very good. And that was the other thing, too, is that, you know, that match was the best three-man match I've seen. It was a good match. It wasn't the best I've seen, but it was kind of like the whole Brock Lesnar versus John Cena at WrestleMania or whatever it was, or SummerSlam or whatever it was, where the match was better than it was expected. You know, Seth comes across as a star in that match, and Brock, of course, comes out even better with the stuff he was doing. So you have that problem, and it's just kind of a case of, I can just imagine everybody at Gorilla Position going, like, what the hell do we do now? And because this is supposed to be Roman Reigns' coming out party, and it really kind of exposes Roman Reigns that he's not ready to be a singles guy. I think he needs to have a Shield group around him to really shine. Him by himself is not really working, but the reason why it's not working is because who's he going against? He's going against the Big Show, which really doesn't really do anything for you. So I think that's the biggest problem I have, is that there's no heel there to really make these guys come across better or have a future and becoming like a baby face or whatever it is. So it's really, everything's up in the air. It's like, you know, we complain all the time about John Cena still in the spotlight and being in the main event. Well, now that he's not in the main event this time around, he's going to go against Rusev. You're just kind of saying, like, okay, what's going to happen now? And so I want to ask you that. I'm like, what happens now? Because John Cena is not in the picture. Now, somewhere down the line, he might get himself involved in a three-way match again, and Roman Reigns comes out the victor there, because maybe WWE's worried that Roman Reigns didn't have the effect they desired. But What happens now, and why isn't John Cena out of the picture of the main event? Why is that not working for WWE?
I don't know. I mean, the second part, I don't know why it's not working. I personally think it's fine. I like Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. I think that's a match I want to see. I'm looking forward to seeing that match. I think Reigns is ready for a singles run. I don't think he needs a faction around him necessarily. I think what you say is very accurate. I mean, you're working him against Big Show and Kane. And Kane's just killing people out there right now. I mean, you see him every single week, and his matches are boring, and his character is boring, and there's nothing fun about watching Kane get involved in anything. So forcing him into these storylines makes no sense. Big Show, like, I can see the reason why you want to do something with Big Show, but it's got to be a quick blow off. It can't be this like long drag out Roman Reigns versus Big Show program, because that's going nowhere. I mean, I would think Cena's out of the title picture, but again, it could be like another kind of WWE sandbag, the way they do around football seasons. Like, this is the year that John Cena's not really in the title picture, heading towards Mania, and they have kind of booked things, not necessarily in my mind incorrectly, but like by not giving the people like a Daniel Bryan run, and by looking like Daniel Bryan's not even going to be in one of the really like featured matches in WrestleMania, people are going to get upset, and then they'll turn to, well, John Cena wasn't in the title picture, so that's why people like were upset towards WrestleMania. I think that there's a really good opportunity here, I think it kind of is growing naturally. I think you go double turn, and I think Brock Lesnar has turned into a real crowd favorite over the last week. And Heyman's so good either way on the mic. You can turn them babyface and have Reigns be the guy that goes heel at Mania, and build on the fact that everyone hates Reigns. Like, it's the perfect thing. You could draw a ton of parallels of what's happening with Roman Reigns right now and what happened with The Rock, right? When he came in as Maya Villa and he got pushed, he had a bunch of ability, but he got pushed so much that people ended up turning on him, and The Rock knew exactly what he needed to do to get over, and that's where he came up with this Rock character. And if anything, if that's going to be the backlash that Roman Reigns is going to get, I think the best move for him to be would be to go ahead and do that turn. And then he beats Brock. And then what I would do even further, because I'm pretty sure Brock Lesnar is going to leave WWE after Mania. I think, you know, there's a lot of talk he might go back to UFC. But if that in fact is the case, you have Heyman be involved in the swerve, and then Heyman becomes Reigns' mouthpiece. And then you can go forward with that. I think that would be the perfect way to set it up. I don't think they'll do that, because I think if they have in their mind that they're going to force Roman Reigns to be the guy going forward, then they're going to have that in mind with him being this monster babyface. But I think the momentum is there for Brock to be this big-time face going forward, and for Roman Reigns to get booed and be a bad guy. And he's been a good bad guy. And, you know, naturally then, because Paul Heyman's even playing pretty well so far, given that, like, you know, I know your family, I respect you, and this and that. So, I mean, he's setting it up to where, you know, that he could, Reigns could be a Heyman guy. That wouldn't be, like, contrary to any else things that has been happening.
Well, they need to do something. I mean, there's so many loose ends with all of the characters. You have an open-ended future for Dolph. You don't know what's going on there. You don't know what's going on with Daniel Bryan. And then even
with Seth Rollins,
even with that triple threat, I think Seth really came out. I mean, Seth is kind of one of those guys where people like him, but he's the bad guy, so people will boo him. But I mean, Seth came out of that match like $1 million, and really showcased. It's like, that's the Seth Rollins that I've missed, because I know that guy has it in him, and then he does all this stuff, and he more than carries his own in that match, and he makes it believable where he could actually go against Brock Lesnar, which
I wasn't believing that before that match. You know, it's just like, well, there's no way that he can be legitimately an opponent for Brock Lesnar, and then he has that match, and it's just crazy, and you have that. I think the real problem is that it goes back to there's no dominant heel. I mean, your dominant heel, your number one heel is Triple H. But as we said before, when Vince McMahon was the number one heel, he could carry it on the mic, and he would play the fool at the same time. He'd be vulnerable, where Triple H really, I think, is too proud to be a vulnerable type person. And we're just kind of back to the drawing board. I mean, it's open-ended, and I don't know if it's because we want to know everything that happened. We want everything, like, immediate. But it's just kind of a case where we're waiting for something to change. We're waiting for something to change. We get the change, or people aren't happy with the change, and we kind of have to sit there and just kind of say, like, oh, well, let's wait and see what happens. And there's so much history of Dolph getting screwed over, of Daniel Bryan getting screwed over, of Bray Wyatt getting screwed over, that I don't know if we're patient enough to wait anymore. And I don't know. I mean, so Monday comes around with the Raw and it gets canceled, so they do a ton of interviews. And to tell you the truth, I thought Roman came across good in that when they interviewed him.
Yeah.
And I thought Brock did too.
Yeah. No,
one guy that I didn't think came out well was Daniel Bryan. I mean, I think Daniel Bryan was doing the whole kind of boss shucks, you know, I'm here for the fans and stuff, and it's like, so you want, this is the guy that you want that's just kind of really playing the role, and, you know, as much as you said that Daniel Bryan's got to go on the mic, to me, it seems, it's been really forced lately, and it's just kind of like I'm a happy-go-lucky good guy, and I'm here for you guys, it's like, I don't want that either, you know?
Yeah, he was really good on the chase, right? When he was, like, trying to demand what he wanted and saying he wasn't going to get held back. I thought most of those interviews were pretty good. I thought the Brock and Roman Reigns stuff was good. I'm personally fine. I mean, was the Royal Rumble a great match? No. Was it terrible? No. That was a fine match. I don't think it was as bad as everyone's saying. But I was fine with the outcome. I thought maybe a little bit anticlimactic. A lot of that has to do with who is those last two guys in the ring with him, you know, not including Rusev. But I'm totally fine with going forward with Roman Reigns having a run to WrestleMania. So I don't know. I guess I'm kind of the wrong person to ask there.
But so I would say you're fine. You're fine about it. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, do you want to see? I mean, I would much rather see, for me personally, I would much rather see Roman Reigns have a run where everybody's supporting him like he's supposed to be supported, instead of him doing all this stuff and people are booing him and they're never going to give him a chance. And that's the problem that I have with this whole thing. Like, I'm the same thing with you. You know, like, I think it's Roman Reigns' time.
Yeah.
But I want him to have fan support and really see where he can go as a character. And, mm-hmm. and I just feel like he's being set up to fail. Like, he's never going to be good enough, and that's really the problem that I have.
Right, and I don't think that's necessarily, I don't think that's Roman Reigns' fault. But I think that WWE needs to get smart about what they're going to do with it going forward. Like I said, I think that could even fix two problems, right? Because if we're saying one of the main problems here is that there is no good strong heel, like maybe Reigns could be the good strong heel that makes, you know, that makes it make sense with the baby faces trying to come up and get the prize again.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, that's really like looking at everything with like rose-colored glasses, though. I mean, WWE doesn't have a track record of doing that.
I'm not saying that's what they're going to do. I'm just saying that I don't even think that they'll turn Reigns. I think they'll keep him as a baby face. But what I'm saying is, it's going to be forced for them to try to make this guy babyface going down the road. And with the momentum that Brock Lesnar has right now, it's going to be very forced to make him a heel going forward as well. So what are they going to do? Build up to this big babyface versus babyface match? And then at WrestleMania, Reigns is going to win, and then Brock's going to be gone. And then you just have another good babyface with no heels to go against afterwards. I mean, that probably is what it's going to be. But what I'm saying is, they have a chance here. There's still a way that they can save this. Now, if they're completely shocked by this result they got, and if there's any concern with them having whatever the real number was of, like, subscriptions dropped right after that pay-per-view, then they might want to think about doing something a little bit different than what they've been doing.
Do you really think they're going to do that, though? I mean,
no, I don't.
So, I mean, then why do you even bring it up? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's easy. I don't want to say it's easy, because it's not, because you're putting a lot of thought into this, but that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, you're saying, well, they have an opportunity to do it, but they never take that opportunity. And so it's like, I really don't understand why you're even bringing it up.
Because if you don't point out, like, the opportunities that they have in these times, then you're basically just going to say, okay, well, you know, I mean, like, it's very easy for them to always fall back on John Cena and say, well, what else could we do? And what I'm trying to say is you do have options of things that you can do to save a storyline and actually make a good storyline. So it's not a good excuse to just fall back on John Cena or fall back on whatever tried and true thing that they've done 100 times over and over again.
So why are you bringing this up then? I mean, why are you pointing these things out? I mean, you as a fan, I mean, why are you pointing these things out that you know is not going to happen? Is it to kind of prove the point that you don't need John Cena around, or... You know what I'm saying? It's like... I'm just saying,
like, given what the situation is, this is what I would do, and I think this would work, and it's not too... It doesn't really seem too complicated either.
So, if they don't take the easy way that you're saying, and they keep on doing what they're doing, and what they wanted to do after the Royal Rumble... Where does that leave wrestling? And where does that leave? I mean, you say you're fine with the Roman Reigns run. I'm fine with the Roman Reigns run, but, and I'm not saying that he's being set up to fail. It's some fault of his own. It's not his fault. But when something like this happens, and, you know, it's funny, you know, you talk about the Shield breaking up because of a plan B. Well, there is a plan B, but I just don't think they're gonna take it. And so what? I mean, what are we really watching? I mean, we have Roman Reigns as a champion, and he's getting booed left and right. And then John Cena, since they're like, well, Roman Reigns ain't working, but we have to kind of stay the course for WrestleMania because that's what we booked. But then the second that happens, then we can put John Cena back in the title picture, and Roman Reigns is not going to only going to have the title for like a month, month and a half. I mean, where does that leave us? I just don't see. I don't see any strong personality besides John Cena in this company that's going to stand up to anybody backstage. And everything that we've seen over the past 3-4 years, that if there's a person that does stand up or speaks his mind, a.k.a. a Dolph Ziggler, and they bury him, like they buried him for like a year, and then they finally give him a bone, and he starts winning matches, and he has a ton of momentum, and that's the people that, I mean... Dolph Ziggler winning the Royal Rumble. That's what everybody wants to see, along with Daniel Bryan at the same time. So it just kind of... we're sitting here going like, well, what will save this situation? And maybe it's a Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns when Roman Reigns wins the title. But it's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of a... That's what I'm trying to say. It's like, I agree with what you're saying, but it doesn't really mean anything because you know it's not going to happen.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so it's just kind of. Well, I'm trying to get to the root of the problem, and what do we do as wrestling fans for the next 3-4 months if nobody's happy with the way the direction's going?
Well, Access TV is showing New Japan Wrestling on Fridays, yeah. 2 hours worth. That's pretty good. So
and maybe start just looking at NXT and just.
Do we
make an NXT pact, or should I make an NXT pact, or if I don't like the direction that it's going with WrestleMania, where I just kind of put Raw in the back burner and just start watching NXT?
Maybe. I mean, I'm going to keep watching Raw, but I'll be probably watching less and less of it because now that it gets to WrestleMania season, it's generally a bunch of stuff I don't care for. So, whereas before, I'll probably watch, you know, close to 2 hours of Raw and fast forward through like that other hour or, you know, not in a row, but, you know, probably about an hour. Like, I can watch an hour and a half, maybe two. So now I'll just be flying through watching all the dumb stuff that I don't care about. But yeah, NXT's been pretty good. So I'm definitely fine with watching NXT. And they got like at least four guys down there that are really fun to watch that I think are on par with pretty much anybody they have on the main show right now. And then again, like that 2 hours of New Japan on Access TV was awesome wrestling. And so there's plenty of alternatives. The Lucha Underground is not even bad to watch right now. If from nothing else, even though I don't understand what they're saying, the production value.
So this is a month
today. I'm just saying the production value is really good on that show. It's like I actually wish I could understand what they were saying because I don't know. It just looks like it's like the style of it is pretty good. So I think there's a lot more options out there than there's been in the past, and I'm fine to go to any of those.
Have we changed as wrestling fans? Where I mean, I remember when I was 14, 15 years old, I had WCW I could watch. You told me about New Japan, and I have that recorded now, so I'm going to start watching that. I'm going to probably start, since the Monday Night Wars are over on WWE Network, I'll probably start watching NXT. But I remember 14, 15, I was so into wrestling that I would watch the Spanish broadcast of WWE, you know, just to watch the action. And I don't know why now it's not, for me, it's not the same thing. You know, it's like, how come I'm not happy just watching Daniel Bryan perform or Dolph Ziggler perform or Bray Wyatt perform? I mean, we talk about this road to WrestleMania, and you bring up, you know, well, there's opportunities to do this or opportunities to do that. You as a wrestling fan, I mean, what would you want to see? I mean, if you were the booker for this coming up here, I mean, you've already said what you would do with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, but what about these other guys? I mean, what would you do with these other guys to kind of fix the show?
I mean, I guess Cena, Rusev's okay. It kind of makes it feel like they're just building this really long undefeated streak for Rusev, just so Cena can crush it at WrestleMania. But it is what it is. I think it'll raise Rusev's profile. The question is, after that program's over, does he like go into the pit that most everybody else goes into once they're done with John Cena? Okay, so the other one, the match that I could not give a fuck less about is the Sting versus Triple H match that's going to happen. I mean, that's going to be terrible. I would completely do away with that. Let's see. I don't need to see The Undertaker wrestle anymore. So, you know, all respect to The Undertaker, but I'd rather see Bray Wyatt do something else. I think that's the direction I'd go in.
Is Bray going to face Undertaker?
There's a lot of discussion about that. Still not certain with Undertaker is going to be able to wrestle or not, but part of the speculation was Bray showed so strong at Rumble because they want to make him look strong to go against Undertaker.
So you can lose to him in WrestleMania?
You're asking me what I'd do. Yeah. I wouldn't do that match. Now, I don't know how much mileage is left in a Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan like program. Maybe they've put on good matches and they've had a good feud, but I think it's time for them to both move on from one another. And I'm kind of spitballing here, but like maybe a Bray Wyatt and a Dolph Ziggler thing might be interesting, because I mean, I think Bray is a really good worker, and I think Dolph has a lot of the qualities that Daniel Bryan has. So if you put those two guys in a program, I think that could be pretty good. You know, I don't have too much thought behind it or what the storyline or like the rationale would be, but just as in terms of trying to think of like what to do with good people to make a good match, like that would be something I'd consider. Then that leaves Daniel Bryan, something to do with Daniel Bryan. I mean, the first name that's coming to my head is Randy Orton, not necessarily because I think that there's anything left in that feud either, but, well, I, okay, then I go Rollins and Daniel Bryan. And then, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily, maybe it's for Money in the Bank, maybe. And then Daniel Bryan has a chance to kind of redeem himself in the eyes of the fans and get a title shot, even though he didn't win the Rumble, and that might satisfy some of them. I mean, I know it'd be a hell of a match. Even just the idea of maybe a triple threat of Bray Wyatt, Rollins, and Ziggler. Like, that could be just like, I mean, three of the best workers you got, like, bar none in the world in a triple threat match at WrestleMania. Just put them together and see what they could do. I mean, at least it'd be a good match. So, I don't know. Things like that. Ambrose needs to do something, and they need to figure out.
Do you like the character direction that Ambrose is going, especially with Raw, how he kind of comes across as this crazy guy? And
I kind of do. I think it's pretty good. I think his segments have been entertaining. I don't like the direction his character is heading in that, like, he just puts on good matches, and now he's the guy that just ends up getting his ass kicked and getting blown off all the time. But I think Dean Ambrose is good. I think he needs to stay on TV. I watch when Dean Ambrose is on.
Does WWE need John Cena in the title picture to make their show work?
You know my opinion. I mean,
yeah,
I think he hurts it more than anything else.
Well, I think everything he does just hurts the overall product, because right. Nobody is set in place to, you know, be a heel or a face. I mean, at least with John Cena, it's like, you know, there's people that like him, but you know there's a lot of people that hate him too. There was a book fair at my kid's school, and this one kid I never talked to had a Royal Rumble book, you know, talking about all the Royal Rumble matches and stuff. I was like, hey, what's that book? And he's like, oh, it's this. I'm like, God. I'm like, you watch wrestling? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, who's your favorite wrestler?
John Cena.
And he's like, John Cena. I was like so close to saying, like, John Cena sucks, dude. I'm like, give me a break, you know.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you like John Cena? Right. And to tell him, like, some 8-year-old kid, like, it's like, what's the matter with you, kid? You know, like, well, why you like that guy? But at the same time, it kind of puts everything in perspective. It's like, okay, so yeah, there's, you know, he does hit that demographic. I'm just kind of, you know, it's more everything that happened after the Royal Rumble. It really bothered me, you know, just not with what happened, but the IWC just coming in, going like, oh, you know, I hate this, and I'm gonna, you know, and there's people that cancel their subscription, like No More and stuff and everything. It's like, man, just chill out for a second, you know, like, see where the storyline's going, you know. I mean, Reigns hasn't been pushed on us, you know, like, people were cheering for Reigns, and when he does Raw and stuff, I mean, he's fun to watch. I mean, even in the Royal Rumble, he was fun to watch. I mean, him and Dean kind of looking at each other and kind of having like a nice little, like, 2-minute run where they're both of them are just, like, dominating. And then, I mean, Reigns' Superman punch is still a fun thing to watch. I mean, he's a fun person to watch. I don't understand where you get all this hate towards Roman Reigns, and that's what really bothered me about the whole thing. It's like, really, it's like, is this where wrestling's going? Where if you don't get your way, you're gonna scream foul and go all crazy? It's like, you haven't been getting your way this whole time, and it's like, you know, Daniel Bryan got screwed over. Yeah, he got screwed over. Of course he did. But last year, CM Punk got screwed over worse than Daniel Bryan did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the person that everybody wanted to see. And it's like, this guy, you know, has the longest modern era title reign. He does the job for a year after he loses the belt. And this is his time to, you know, if they wanted to make everything right with wrestling fans, with that contingent of wrestling fans, which is bigger than a lot of people think it is, probably mainly the IWC, it's like, I was much angrier when CM Punk didn't get it. And even my two girls were like, you know, they were angry when he lost. I mean, my youngest daughter was still saying, like, is CM Punk gonna come out? You know, she still wants to see him win a title and everything, you know? Mm-hmm. I was much more upset about that. I mean, the Rumble was entertaining. It didn't have certain people, like, you know, Sting didn't show up, you know, Randy Orton didn't show up, and Sheamus didn't show up. So there's, like, certain, like, three or four people you're kind of shaking out, like, well, how come these people aren't coming back in? The only really big problem I have with the Royal Rumble is that I like Royal Rumbles where there's like 15 people in the ring at the same time. Because I kind of like the old style type Rumbles where they had that. They really didn't have that this year. Yeah, I think maybe at most maybe had like 7 or 8 guys. But it really showed kind of like a lack of star power too. You know, it's waiting for kind of, you know, Dolph Ziggler to come out 30 or whatever it was. Even then, I thought that it wasn't that good. I mean, I thought that Ziggler should have come out when Big Show came, and Big Show should have been like 30. Because now it's like, man, you have this giant coming in at 30, and he's fresh, and, you know, he can clean house and do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So the easy storytelling that was there wasn't prevalent. Also, there was no NXT guy that came out to really make a name for himself and to kind of say, like, oh, this is the next guy they're going to do. So the opportunities, you know, that are present in the Rumble every year weren't there. But, I mean, there's a lot of things I've liked about it. I mean, you have Bubba Ray come out, Bully Ray comes out and does all this 3D stuff and everything, and then DDP comes out and hits diamond cutters left and right. The Boogeyman comes out, and I was just like, I mean, when Boogeyman came out, I was like, oh, man, all momentum of this thing is just going to die. Mm-hmm. And then Bray gets rid of him in like a minute. Yeah. You know, and it's just like, man, this is good to watch, and it's fun to watch. And I didn't get what I wanted, but at the same time, it's like, you know, Roman Reigns, he deserves a run. Let's see what he can do. And instead of looking at that objectively, going like, oh, you know, Roman Reigns is getting shut down our throats, I'm like, no, he's not, because a week ago you guys were cheering for him. And that now it's easy way. It's like to find something wrong with the product, to jump on a bandwagon. So it's a lot of sheepism. And instead of like the sheep, instead most of the time we're used to like the whole kind of flock mentality of cheering for a face, it went the opposite direction. And they're booing a face just to boo him, saying that he doesn't deserve it. That's the problem that I have with the whole thing. It's like, yeah, it's just like, what do you watch wrestling for then? I mean, it's like, is it so you can bitch and moan and cry about how WWE doesn't take care of you as a fan? It's like, I mean, what's the point of that?
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of times where it's valid to be upset and say that WWE is not taking care of its fans. I think some of those complaints are really valid and things that WWE should definitely consider. But when you start complaining this way, then like you kind of reinforce all the ideas that like the McMahons and Triple H had in the past about, well, the fans don't know what they want, we know what they want, kind of thing. Okay, when you start acting stupid like that, it's like the same kind of fans that start saying the turn against CM Punk and say he's a quitter, right? It's the same kind of thing. It's like, oh, because he didn't walk out on you as fans, he wasn't. You know, he wasn't being treated well as a guy that was trying to do the best job that he could and achieve and be the best that he could for a really long period of time. It's like I don't see like, and that's like you said, people complaining just to the sake of complaining. It's like I don't really see how anybody comes out saying like CM Punk like looked bad in the way that he exited, right? I mean. And I don't see how people can have been, after being clamoring for change, and after the popularity that the Shield and Roman Reigns and all those guys had as individuals, they finally give you something that's different, and then you're still going to find a way to bitch about it. I can understand Philadelphia doing it, because Philadelphia is a very, like, in my opinion, they're like a very niche wrestling community, right? Like, they have this high regard for ECW. I mean, they probably would have went bananas if, like, Tommy Dreamer won the thing, right? Tommy Dreamer sucks, right? But they like their guys, their homegrown guys that are ECW. And I think they could easily look at Roman Reigns and say he's part of the machine, and they're behind Daniel Bryan because he's an independent guy. And fine, you know, fine for them. That's what that town's makeup is. But if what you're kind of suggesting is true, that the internet then kind of grasped onto that feeling that Philadelphia had, then yeah, that is sheepism as its highest form. I don't see what the complaint is for people being all down on Roman Reigns right now.
It's pretty much, it comes like it's either Daniel Bryan wins or nothing else. Mm-hmm. Instead of like looking at what that match was, and the funny thing is for them to say that Roman Reigns is part of the machine. Roman Reigns didn't become popular because he was putting on shitty matches, and the announcers were saying, like, oh, this guy's the best thing ever. I mean, this guy, the reason why he became popular is because of his intensity, the way he's been portraying himself, the way he was portrayed in The Shield, which really, if you look at it, really isn't machine-driven. I don't think The Shield was machine-driven. I think you had three really top performers that needed a break, and these guys came in at the same time, and all three of them did their own things equally well. And Roman Reigns, to tell you the truth, I mean, when it was I'm with our old podcast, we're talking about The Shield and stuff, and we're saying, okay, you know, Dean's the technician, Seth is kind of the wow factor guy, and probably like the most like legit kind of indie type wrestler. And then you have Roman Reigns, who's like the complete package, who can be physically dominating. He has four or five great signature moves, and his matches are fun to watch. That's not machine driven. I mean, he hasn't done anything different since he's been split up. I mean, he's had the same type of matches that he's always had. He's been fun as all hell to watch. I mean, people forget, you know, Survivor Series when he beat eliminated four guys. We weren't sitting there going like, oh man, this guy's being pushed and driven. It's like, yeah, this guy, it's about, he deserves that. He deserves to do it because he's such a great presence in the ring. And then with what he did at the Royal Rumble last year, that wasn't machine driven. I mean, it's like, they gave him an opportunity to eliminate all these guys, but it worked. And he had a ton of momentum. And everybody was bitching and moaning when he lost it. The second that Batista won that Royal Rumble last year, every single person said Roman Reigns deserved to win that match. It's like, man, it should have been Roman Reigns, not Batista, because Batista is machine driven and we're supposed to like him, and Roman Reigns is the guy that is bucking the machine, and we're the guys that he likes. Well, he does the exact same thing. He doesn't have the crazy elimination run that he did, and maybe that's a fault within the storytelling there, and that's kind of what I had a problem with him winning, was that he didn't really stand out in the Royal Rumble. The guys that stood out to me was a Bray Wyatt. I think Dean Ambrose really stood out in that match as well. And I thought Ziggler, you know, if it wasn't going to be Daniel Bryan, then it should have been Dolph Ziggler, because Ziggler has had the same run that Roman Reigns had last year. And that's the problem that I have. But it's not like this guy's been shoved down our throats. We want to watch him.
Right.
I think the main problem is that you're putting him with the big show, and that's where his momentum dies. And to a small part, I think that Daniel Bryan's momentum has died as well. I mean, he's had a bad program since he's come back. Yeah, it's been two matches, but it's going against Kane, and I had no interest in Daniel Bryan heading into the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, well, we're in the minority there for whatever reason. Everyone, like, Daniel Bryan's like everyone's favorite wrestler right now. What happened in the last year that made people turn against Roman Reigns? That would be my question. If you were ready for this guy to do it last year, and everyone was behind him, and now 1 year later he's got one more year of experience, and everyone's saying, "Oh, it's too soon." So what happened? What happened to turn? What did he do that made everybody hate him? I mean, I think he had like one pretty bad botch of a promo, and I think that's where the internet started to poke fun at him, and then from there it kind of snowballed to, this guy's got five moves, and this guy can't cut a promo, and I just don't know where it all came from. So how did it get to this point?
I mean, he got hurt. Two things happened. He got hurt, and then he won Wrestler of the Year for the Slammies. I mean, that was really the turning point where people started to say, oh, Roman Reigns doesn't deserve this, doesn't deserve it. He's going to shove down our throats. And, you know...
Okay, winning a Slammy could be an example of shoving down throats.
Yeah. I mean, that could be it. And that's why, you know, but at the same time, is that Roman Reigns' fault, or is that WWE's fault?
And who fucking takes the Slammies seriously?
Yeah, well, obviously the IWC does. I mean, it's just, you know, it's funny because I really think that WWE really expanded Twitter. I think they were one of the first kind of companies to really buy into Twitter and really utilize Twitter the way that it should have been used. And, yeah, you had your trolls, this, that, and this, and everything, but it's kind of like the more people it's just kind of like the whole thing. Like, the more people that claim to be IWC and have never really watched wrestling and are having a cup of coffee and all of a sudden it's like, I'm a huge wrestling fan now without really observing or studying the product. The funny thing is, like, this whole, you know, the whole Twitter thing, right? When everything was happening, I'm reading everything on Twitter. Not one person that I follow that I respect that watches wrestling said anything about that. Not one.
About what?
About, oh, Roman Reigns sucks and stuff like that. It's just like, all the marks coming out saying, like, oh, you know, I'm going to cancel my subscription. But the people that I respect, the people that I believe are, like, maybe about 10 or 15 people in my community that I really kind of listen to their opinions on wrestling, not one of them talked bad about Roman Reigns. They're saying the exact same things that me and you are saying. It's like, you know, just give it a chance. You know, all where all this hate's coming from, like, cancel your subscription, that isn't doing anything. You're going to come back. I mean, give me a break. You know, so it's just kind of, you know, WWE and its fans, and with easily accessible for fans to kind of state their opinion, I think it's really bringing out the worst in wrestling fans in terms of, that's not who represents me. You know, it's like, I'm sitting there going, like, give the guy a chance, but I know that the second that you have this big backlash, you know, I think, like, cancel WWE or something like that was, like, a number one trend on Twitter and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, now that kind of sets the tone or sets the pace of how this program's going to go. But I'm starting to go, like, well, no, it's not. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's easy for you to take your stand and say, hey, you know, like, I agree. You know, it's like, and I'm really mad about this. And there's, like, maybe, like, one guy that I follow that I respect him, and he was towing that line saying, like, oh, this sucks, and, you know, he puts out a bunch of memes and stuff about, you know, this, that, and this, and The Rock, the look on Rock's face and stuff, and it's like, but that's not who I want directing, you know, or they don't speak for me on that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and that's why I'm just kind of, I have no problem with Roman Reigns having a championship run, but I want a Roman Reigns where he gets the full opportunity to see whether he can draw or not. And with the way Twitter is, I don't think there's going to be, if you're not like the Twitter darling of wrestling, if you're not the Twitter darling, if you're not the wrestler Twitter darling, I don't think anybody's going to get a fair shake with the way the IWC is. And I really think that's a problem within itself as well.
But, I mean, I wouldn't consider John Cena like a internet Twitter.
Oh, it's more like Daniel Bryan, you know, since Daniel Bryan didn't get the.
Well, let's just say Daniel Bryan did, because I think
that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean,
and this especially comes from a point where right now I really don't. I'm not invested in Daniel Bryan, and even when he was getting his push and his run. I mean, there's like two, maybe two, 3 months where I'm watching Daniel Bryan go, like, wow, this guy is doing stuff that I never saw before. His intensity is great. His matches are great. But after that 2-3 months, it's like, well, his matches really aren't any different. You know, he's not really doing anything new. And it's not like he's really doing anything on the mic. Yeah, he's gotten better on the mic, but he hasn't done anything on the mic where I'm going, like, oh, I'm really pushing for this guy.
Yeah, well, and again, what they do, they kept dragging him out with matches against Kane and Randy Orton. I like Randy Orton. But you can't do like Daniel Bryan for 6 straight months against those two guys, right? And that's where they drag it on, and nothing ever progressed forward to the point where when he finally got the belt, then he got hurt right away because he'd been busting his ass for so long, probably. But the time when the iron was hot and they should have struck, they just kind of spun their wheels going nowhere. And then, unfortunately, this injury happens, and you never really capitalized on all that momentum you could have had. So this is my question. Do you think it was good or bad that Storm ended up canceling Raw being a live show on Monday?
I don't have a... I'd say it's 50-50. I mean, I think there's good things that happened because of that storm. I mean, I really thought that... I mean, watching, actually giving mic time to Brock and Brock really showing. I mean, the funny thing is, like, when Brock was in UFC, he was an entertaining person, you know, like very, very honest, very straightforward. And then he comes to the WWE and they just turn him off. And it's like, well, how come you can't I mean, Brock was a great personality in UFC. Why don't you take what he learned in terms of cutting a promo in UFC and then utilizing that here in WWE? And they never allowed him to do it. Where he kind of really became a one-dimensional character. And I got tired of listening to Paul Heyman talk to him. Don't get me wrong. I like hearing Paul Heyman talk. It's just like it's the same thing over and over again. I thought that these interviews that he did with the stuff that he was saying, the stuff that he was doing, I thought he came across very well. It's like, why are we waiting for so long? If he's going to leave, you know, it's like you're finally going to make me start liking Brock Lesnar because you're actually giving him a chance to be on the mic and actually talk. I mean, the whole thing is like, how come you didn't have Brock Lesnar when he wasn't showing up to live events? How come you don't have him, you know, like SmackDown, right? They had these dumbass interviews with Michael Cole and Triple H. I could care less what Triple H thinks about the business. You know, like, how come you couldn't have just Brock, you know, like, record a promo and play a promo every week to make me either like him or hate him more? I thought Roman Reigns came across very well. He addressed the white elephant in the room and he stated the way he did. He stated what he needed to state, and I thought he came across really well. I mean, the bad part about this whole thing was that I wanted to see the crowd reaction to Roman Reigns, and I wanted to see how he would adjust to getting booed if he got booed at all. You know, like I needed some validation. It was like, is this just Twitter saying this? Is it just the Philadelphia crowd? And I have a ton of respect for Philadelphia. I have respect for the Philadelphia crowd because a lot of the times, you know, everything that I kind of agree with, they do too. But at the same time, it's like towards the end, I thought they were just being silly. I thought they were just booing just to boo, without really kind of just enjoying what could have been a good match. Because with the Royal Rumble, the last 5-10 minutes of that match, if there's no booing in that crowd, and say it was like a Southern crowd where like everybody's cheering and really getting involved in it, that payoff would have been great. And I think when you approach something with a negative light or a cynicism, you can't, anything that good happens or anything that, you know, that you could enjoy yourself. I'll bring this up again. Like, we went to a live WWE event in San Jose when we were both in college, and it was when The Rock was really hot. It was when Too Cool was hot, and it was when Jericho was hot as well. And the whole thing is like, I never cheer for anything. You know, like wrestling, like I never really get involved in anything or cheer or anything like that. But we went to this live event, and man, me and you are standing up for Jericho, and we're doing the Jericho pose, and we're just lost in the moment and having a great time. And I never thought I would do that. I never thought I would have that much fun at a live event, because I was always the smart wrestling fan. I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen. You know, people that do, you know, that will cheer for Jericho or whatever it is. You know, it's like they're just sheep and stuff like that. But I suspended my belief. It was me and you. We both had a great time. It was a great show. And I think if Philly would have just sat back and watched the thing in front of them and, yeah, follow a little bit, follow what the company wants you to do, I bet you they would have had a lot more fun than they did instead of booing. You know, it's like, what's the point of paying all that money and booing for something that really isn't that bad? I mean, it's not like John Cena came in at number 30 and he cleaned house and all of a sudden he's, you know, he's the contender for the belt. So I thought the interviews were good, but at the same time, I wanted to see what the live reaction was. There's a lot of the biggest problem I have right now about doing this podcast now is that there's a lot of loose ends. I don't know where Daniel Bryan's going. I don't know where Dolph is going. I don't know where Sandow's going. I don't know what's happening with Bray Wyatt. You know, this is all kind of up in the air. I want immediacy to know, okay, what are the storylines going to be within the next 3-4 months? Is this going to be as bad as it was last year? And you know what? The funny thing is that I'm not watching wrestling anymore saying like, oh, this sucks. Oh, I hate it. I'm watching wrestling now just to be entertained. And it's a lot easier just to sit back and watch wrestling to be entertained. Yeah, you might not like some of the people. You may not like Adam Rose. You may not like New Day or whatever it is. I mean, DDP coming out for the Royal Rumble, going like, what the hell is this 50-year-old guy doing in the ring? And then he throws diamond cutters on everybody. And it's like, man, this is fun. You know, this is enjoyable. So that's it. I needed a live event. I needed wrestling matches nowhere to kind of appease the concerns that I had after watching the pay-per-view. Because it's funny, I drove home from the pay-per-view. I wasn't upset. I was, you know, I was fine. And then all of a sudden, I get on Twitter, and everybody's going crazy on Twitter. Going, and I was like, "Were you watching the same thing that I was watching?" I mean, I was kind of going like, I remember looking at you when Reigns is getting booed, and I'm just kind of looking. I'm like, really? I'm like, they're booing this guy, and The Rock comes out, and he can't save him, and I'm just going like, okay, what the hell's going on here? You know, I mean, what? I mean, it's kind of like to the point where it's like a, you know, Ric Flair. Talking about WCW and everybody was like saying like, oh, it was really sad when the last show was really sad and stuff, and Ric Flair goes, and this show should have ended a year ago because I was embarrassed to be a part of it. I was embarrassed to kind of be a fan watching the product because it's like, you guys aren't speaking for me, and you guys, what you're doing really doesn't make any sense. You know, there's not a lot of thought behind it, and it just sounds like you guys are all following one person that decides to boo, and then let's all boo at the same time. So there's a lot of confusion for me as a fan, and I needed to be appeased with the live event, and so that's where I was in with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought the interviews were pretty good, but I thought, yeah, like, the fact that there was no Raw, like, you could have gotten a really quick squashing of, like, some of this Roman Reigns like negative feedback. If that crowd where was the Raw supposed to be? Was it Hartford or
Connecticut?
Right. So if the Hartford crowd was behind Roman Reigns,
then which it probably would have been because it's in WWE's backyard.
Right. And then you can pretty much squash like a lot of that. But since that didn't happen, I think it's allowed even more time for things to fester. And the internet to continue to just kind of like build off the momentum of this like this negative feeling towards Roman Reigns. So I'm very curious to see what the next crowd's going to be like when Roman Reigns shows up and how that reaction is going to be. I really think it would be in their best interest to have Reigns do something on SmackDown sooner than later, because if it rolls all the way over till Raw next Monday, like it could snowball, right? But yeah, that's what I thought. That's kind of where I was going with that question, because it's like it wasn't a bad show for what it was, but like probably couldn't have come at a worse time. You know, obviously like more like really bad for the East Coast. I'm not trying to like minimize it and be like, oh yeah, this was terrible for wrestling and. You know, brush aside what's going on with the people living over there and dealing with all the snow, but from just like strictly this, you know, this being a wrestling podcast and strictly from a wrestling point of view, I think it was probably the worst case scenario for them not to be able to kind of get behind this and turn it around with Roman Reigns as soon as they possibly could.
And I think with, you know, with wrestling kind of will mirror what's going on in society as well. And I really think, and I'm being honest about this, I really think a big problem with this Royal Rumble match has a lot to do with Deflategate. You know, with something that's so minimal, about talking about how many pounds of air pressure is in a ball, and people are talking about it for like 4 or 5 days straight, and you're just sitting going like, dude, I'm like, what the hell is this? I mean, what? Why is this a story? You know, and why? And you're hearing everybody on talk radio talk about it. They're like, oh, we don't want to talk about this, but let's talk about it. It's like, if you don't want to talk about it, then don't talk about it. But you have to talk about it because this is a scandal. This is a controversy. I'm like, don't you see what's going on? I'm like, who broke the story, right? ESPN broke the story. And who owns ESPN? It's ABC and ESPN. So guess what leads the nightly news on ABC? It's Deflategate. That's your number one story. That's your top, the very first story they talk about. And the people that are telling the story have no flipping idea what football is or just whatever it is. It's like, I mean, it's kind of like us like playing soccer for such a long time and then we lose 1-0 and we're like, well, the ball wasn't deflated or the ball wasn't inflated enough. The ball was wrong. It's like, you didn't, like, man up, dude. You know, like, you lost. And it's just kind of like, it's just the way society is right now. It's like anything that you can say, like, something's unfair or whatever it is, and you're going to talk about it because there's nothing to talk about. And to me, it's kind of the same thing. It was just like, so you had a week of Deflategate, and I do a lot of driving for my job, and I'm just listening to talk radio the whole time. And that's all they're talking about. It's like, man, just like, shut the fuck up about this. and then you watch the Royal Rumble. It's like, finally, like, I can watch wrestling, you know, and be taken away from just stupid-ass stories, like the downfall of journalism that I'm seeing. And then we get this exact same thing. It's like something as small as Daniel Bryan being eliminated, like, halfway through this match, and all of a sudden I have to hear all these conspiracy theorist people saying, you know, we're getting the wool pulled over our eyes and all this stuff and everything, and it was just bad all around. And yeah, you're right. I think the storm, you know, it's like, of course, I'm sitting there going like, of course, dude. Like, when I found out Raw's canceled, I'm like, of course it's canceled. You know, of course it's going to be canceled, because now we have to hear about this for a whole another week, just like I heard about something as big as the Deflategate, you know, and it's like, of course it's canceled, dude. And yeah, is SmackDown still canceled? Because they're saying that they might cancel SmackDown as well, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, like Monday,
we'll get a replay of the Rumble again on SmackDown,
and then we'll get a replay of the interviews as well. I just say, you know, set up a ring in the headquarters in Stamford and just run some matches there. You know,
I would broadcast some NXT. That's what I would do.
Yeah,
they're in Florida. They got a roster that knows what they're doing. Let the public get a little look at what NXT's got.
Yeah,
especially if you're concerned about like potentially losing customers, canceling the network. Once you give them 2 hours of a reason why maybe they should reconsider that, or some of these new people can get to see something they haven't seen and say, "Hey, I would pay $9.99 to watch those guys wrestle once a week." I think that'd be the best use of their resources if they couldn't put on a proper SmackDown.
And the whole thing is that Hulu Plus was getting a big boost in buys because people are watching NXT. You know, like, hey, we can watch NXT on Hulu and what, you know, whatever it is. It's not as bad as it seems, dude. You know, like, just chill out. You know, this is wrestling. You know, I feel like I'm watching the Jesse the Body Ventura story, where he goes, come on, guys, this is wrestling, and then someone hits him with a chair in the back of the head, and he's all laid out while he's announcing and stuff. So, I don't know, dude.
Well, it's funny because, like, generally, if we have these shows that are negative, we're usually ragging on the creative decisions in the product. But for once, we're more ragging on the people that are backlashing against what the product did.
Since we've come back, we haven't bagged on creative at all. I mean, I know that you've had some issues, but and I'm going like, well, hey, let's. Well, I mean, yeah, but it's still entertaining. I have no problem with where creative is going, because you've already taken away my favorite wrestler. So there's nothing where I'm sitting there going like, oh, well, you know, CM Punk should be doing this or CM Punk should be doing that. I've already resigned myself to the fact that he's not coming back. I've already resigned myself to the fact that Dolph can only get so high. Bray, they have no clue what they're going to do with him, even though he should be Dolph. And Bray, to me, should be your top two guys where you need to have them in a program right now that means something. And
second, would you have those guys go against each other for Mania?
No, I wouldn't. Because you have five guys that need to have a run for something that means something, like a belt. And to me, that's going to be Bray, Dolph, Ziggler, Ambrose, and Reigns. Is that five?
You said Dolph, and then you said Ziggler, so it's four.
So, Daniel Bryan.
Okay, that would be five.
Yeah, sorry.
So, Bray, Rollins, Ambrose, Ziggler, and Reigns. Is that the five you...
And, so let me try this again. let's try counting. I feel like I'm in the kindergarten again. So, Bray, Dolph, Bryan, Ambrose, Rollins.
Okay, there's five.
Yeah, that's five.
All right.
Any number of those five guys need to have a run that means something, but
not necessarily against each other. That'd be a concern.
Well, who has the belt? Brock has the belt, so you know Brock is involved in that storyline. And I think you can have one of those other guys go for an intercontinental belt, and then the smart thing that I would do is I would pair one of those other two guys as a team, have them as a tag team. And then if you want to get some good heat, bring one of those guys as a third man, and you can have three-man matches or whatever it is. And then you can utilize talents like you have with the Usos. You know, they have the belt. You can have really good matches there. They're proven to have good matches. And you can go that way. I mean, it's not hard to do. It's just not going to happen. I don't want to see a Bray Wyatt and Dolph Ziggler feud because what are they fighting for? You know, if they're fighting to, like, be the number one contender, and even, like, something as simple as that. But if they're fighting because they're just at odds, it's like, well, what's the payoff there? And that's what they've been doing with Bray. That's what they've been doing with Ambrose. I mean, and for a small part, they've been doing it with Rollins as well. I mean, Rollins was, we need to get revenge on Rollins. I'm like, who cares? You know, it's like, Rollins has the money in the bank. It doesn't matter. He has the money in the bank. So if you beat him, it's no big deal. It's not like he's going to, you know.
He doesn't lose his spot.
Yeah, Rollins is set. So Rollins shouldn't be in any program with anybody. He should be in a program with Brock Lesnar. I tell you, the program that he should be in is he should probably be in a program with Roman Reigns. Put him in a program with Roman Reigns, you know, because you know there's always a question in the back of your head if Roman Reigns wins at WrestleMania, well, can we do a cash in for the Money in the Bank? So, I mean, you can build that up there too. So it's not, and that's what I'm saying, it's like it's not as bad as you think it is. It's not all doom and gloom. And even people are suggesting like, well, if Reigns beats Brock Lesnar, then Rollins could come in with the Money in the Bank. And they're like, yeah, that's a good idea. And this is on Twitter, of course, like, but it's never going to happen. It's like, well, how do you know? You know, so it's like, just relax, yeah. You know?
I don't think, yeah. I could definitely say Rollins is never going to cash in on Brock, but I would not put it out of the realm of possibility that Rollins would cash in on Reigns.
Yeah. And the whole thing is Rollins, see, now the match that Rollins had with that three-way match, now he's legit. I mean, he just got made. I mean, he was made before, but he was made because of the work that he did with the Shield. But kind of as a singles guy, I don't think he was doing anything really great. Rollins in that three-way match showed that he could, you know, not only could he have his cronies come in and beat up on John Cena, so he played that. But then when he had to be by himself and be on his own. I mean, hell, dude, the flipping elbows drop he does, and then he pulls a Phoenix Splash out of his ass, mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there watching him like, oh my god, he just did a Phoenix Splash. The only time I've ever seen a Phoenix Splash is in two things. Either it's a small guy that I really don't care about, because you know the small guy is never going to do anything, or you see it in a video game, and it's like, you know, it's like, this guy's, you know, talk about New Japan, it's like, this guy's bringing in this, you know, a different Japanese style that, you know, CM Punk brought a lot of Japanese style in, like the a lot of the stiffness that was in Japanese wrestling. Well, Rollins is bringing in, you know, your boy's work.
Hayabusa's
work. He's bringing in, you know, all of these guys that you heard of but never seen. I mean, was it a perfect Phoenix Splash? No, he messed it up a little bit, but at least he did it, you know. I mean, he didn't hit John Cena the right way, but I'm sitting there, like, watching it. And then you look at the pin, and then Brock comes out of nowhere, you know, and then the match goes on, and the finish was great. So I mean, Rollins is ready now. I mean, Rollins can be in a main event program where I'm not sitting going like, okay, well, he's the only reason you talk about the machine. The only reason why Rollins was in main events was because he was in the Money in the Bank, and he was like the authority's chosen one and stuff like that. Well, now that everything that they're saying about him is legit now. So I'm happy with what's going on. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I'm impatient, you know, and so I'm impatient. I want to see what stuff happen now, but, and at the same time, I want people to shut the hell up and just watch the product and be happy with it.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to throw it up there now ahead of time. I'm going to be salty once I start having to pay attention to a Sting Triple H WrestleMania feud. That's going to be terrible. So I'll throw that out there ahead of time, just to find something to really hate on creative. You're saying we haven't been doing that enough recently. That program is going to be really bad. And there's another, like, disappointment in the internet wrestling community. These are these same people that are going to be like, oh, I don't want to see Roman Reigns and complain about that, are going to be the same people jocking how cool it's going to be to watch a Sting match. Have any of these people seen Sting wrestle a match in the last 5 years? I mean, He was bad when he was in his prime. This guy's fucking terrible now, and he's horrible on the
mic. What is his prime? What is his prime for you?
Like when he was fighting Ric Flair, like before I saw him, really.
Yeah.
Because by the time I saw him, anything pre Crow gimmick that I could say was probably his prime. I know he's probably like slightly getting out of his prime before he switched to the
black. You don't think he was good then?
I think he was okay for what he was, but I never thought he was a good promo, and I thought he had the look for sure. But
when you started watching him, that look was already started going out of style.
Yeah. Well, and then the thing was, I thought that he had a really good combination of power and athleticism, but his athleticism went away from him really quick, and then he was just a small guy that was kind of strong. And then slowly he's just kind of gotten smaller and smaller over the years. And he's even, you know, he doesn't have even the aspects of power. So basically all he is now is like a 50-year-old dude that wrestles in a t-shirt and has a series of chops, a pretty weak scorpion deathlock, and a reverse DDT. And that's all you get out of the guy.
And a 2-foot stinger splash in the turnbuckle.
Right. And that was it. That was when I really started, like, early on, losing respect for this guy. I don't know if respect's the word, but appreciation for his in-ring abilities was when he was in that dark Sting gimmick, and that Stinger Splash was just garbage.
Well, what it was you were watching wrestling, you were watching wrestlers like this is about the time that you really became a big fan of Bret Hart. You know, you really appreciated his ring work ability. You had guys like Shawn Michaels, who you didn't see that much, but you saw probably maybe one or two Shawn Michaels matches when he was in his prime, and you remember the type of match that he did and it stuck with you. And then you get the whole kind of like Sting match where you watch Sting and you go, well, if he wasn't in a match with Ric Flair, which he probably wasn't, because Flair basically already kind of made him, you're watching him like, well, what's the big deal about this guy? Because he doesn't do anything in the ring. And the whole thing is, Sting is a product of Ric Flair. I mean, if Ric Flair doesn't put over Sting, now Sting had a great gimmick. He had a great look, but without Ric Flair or without him going against the Four Horsemen, he wasn't good. And then he became best friends with Lex Luger, and those guys started fighting, and Lex sucked as well. So yeah, I don't know what it is about people with Sting. I mean, even during his whole Crow gimmick, he never wrestled. He just came and he dropped from the rafters and kicked 10 people's asses at the same time. So I never really understood. I mean, I've watched Sting since he first started, and I respected what he could be. He never reached it. And now you have fans saying like, oh, you know, Sting's going to be in the WWE. It's more of a case like, Sting never wrestled in the WWE. We probably need to see him in the WWE. Why do you want to see this guy in the WWE for? He's done. He's been done for a long time. And the whole thing is that he couldn't even carry TNA. You know, he was supposed to be the top face in TNA, and he sucked in TNA too. I mean,
he was very bad in TNA.
Yeah, and that's why I never really watched TNA, is because he was supposed to be your top guy. The only time I ever watched TNA was when Christian came in, and when Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe were having their stuff.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that's the only time it was ever good. But then once they started trying to go back to these old guys like Sting and stuff, it's like, well, Sting's never been a draw. He's never drawn anything. And you can people can seriously like, oh, what the hell are you talking about? You know, he had this great match with Hulk Hogan and stuff. Yeah, I was at that Hulk Hogan match. And you know what? I cannot remember a damn thing in that match. And I was there live. And that's how much big of an impact Sting made for me. I remember Scott Hall getting on the mic, and I went crazy when Scott Hall got on the mic. He didn't, you know, and that's really all I remember. I remember DDP fighting, I think, against Chris Benoit. I can't even believe that I watched Chris Benoit wrestle, you know. But yeah, and then you throw Sting in, and then you throw in like a slow ass Triple H, where Triple H is like the last singles competition you remember him having is against Brock Lesnar, and I almost passed out during that Brock Lesnar match. That match was so bad, and it was just a complete waste of time, and it was like just ego, it's just
ego driven,
an ego, you know, feeding frenzy. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, dude. So, you ready to get into a Golden Stick?
Yeah. You got something queued up, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I got something queued up, so give me a second. All right, so this is coming from someone that you really respect, you know, like a great guy on the mic. So I think you're really going to enjoy this drop that I'm going to do right about now.
Bad news, ramen tweets. I'd rather hear a week of Romegate than another week of Deflategate. Signed, technical difficulties. That's awesome, right? My comparison? I would rather keep coming back on the air and not knowing whether or not I'm on the air and shouting out to my wife than talk even one more second about Deflategate. But here we are.
Well, I'm glad you got the name right. Unlike our local host over here with my man, Bad News Raymond. Good job, Ben. You finally made the big time, you know, where I've been, you know, I've been to the mountaintop several times.
Several times, yeah. In no way am I like you, so I'll give you respect right there.
You and your 1,000 Twitter followers, but me and my mighty 72 that get read.
I don't have 1,000 yet. I'm getting close, but I'm about 300 away from 1,000, so...
Yeah, that's pretty strong, man. That was like the one part of the show I was actually listening to, because I got to listen for a small window. Right.
So you heard it when you said it?
No, because then I turned it off because then I had class, but I was listening to the part where in and out, right? So yeah, that's pretty funny.
I wasn't even, you know, I wasn't even going to send a tweet, you know, because I was like, I'm like, might as well. Who cares? I'm so tired to flake it. Like, I wasn't trying to get on air, but I did Jim Rohn and Kyle Brandt. And I think putting Kyle Brandt on there was key because, you know, I know he reads the tweets and stuff. And then I go into a grocery store, and I probably spend about 15 minutes there, right? So I was like, well, even if he mentions me, I'm not going to hear it. I don't know if he mentioned me or not. And then so I'm driving to – literally, like, it's in this one town where there's a Safeway here, and right across the street there's a Knob Hill. And so literally, like, from driving, like, the 3 minutes, I just happened to turn on during those 3 minutes. And then he starts talking about, like, oh, you know, people are coming on Twitter talking about, you know, because he brought on Kyle Brandt, and him and Kyle were kind of, like,
bantering,
like, and Rome was like, he was like, what the hell happened? He's like, it's all your fault and stuff to Kyle Brandt and stuff and everything. And so I just slapped it out real fast, and I'm driving to the next drive. I'm literally, like, starting to turn into a parking space, and he starts talking about, you know, he starts reading all these tweets, and I'm not thinking about anything. You know, I'm just enjoying the. So it was a tweet about the golden ticket with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Grandpa Joe.
Yeah.
So I'm like laughing over like the drops they're doing about Grandpa Joe and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he says me, and I was like, and I'm just kind of smiling. I'm like, oh shit, that's me. hey, look at that.
That's a good handle. Hey, and then he. He came on you like no one else ever came before.
He's either magnitude. So you got someone for?
I do not.
Really, dude? Come on, man.
I figured you'd have somebody.
I've been doing it for like the past like 4 weeks, dude.
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
I don't know about that.
Every guy that's been in the Hall of Kayfabe for the past like four podcasts, it's all been me, dude.
I don't think so. I think I put Demolition in there.
I thought I put Demolition in there.
I thought I did that. I thought I didn't. Yeah. I remember you saying you had a guy, and then I said who I had, and then anyway.
What are you pointing at?
Just give a second. Let me think here, so we don't have no dead air.
Oh yeah, since we never had dead air with you before, I ask you a question, you're like,
well, that's good. That's actually going somewhere. That's actually going somewhere.
So we gotta pull someone from the past. You know who I've actually been thinking about, and maybe you can help me out in this. So I got a guy. While you're looking up into the heavens in deep thought, but I have a guy. So you can stop looking at us. Stop looking up at the comments over there, dude. But you can actually probably help me out with this one. But the guy that I want to put in is Gregory Helms.
All right.
And the only thing that I really know from Gregory Helms is his 3 count. And I'm not doing it because of the 3 count gimmick that he did with WCW. It was his superhero gimmick that he did. And I never understood it. And I stopped watching wrestling at that time. And the only reason why I know about that superhero gimmick was because...
he had a promo with The Rock?
No, it wasn't that. I mean, I know he had the promo with The Rock, but it was a created wrestler in the first SmackDown game for PS2 that I bought, and it was my first like venture into a PS2 SmackDown game because I didn't like the SmackDown games. But this was the one that had The Rock. It was Know Your Role SmackDown. And so during all these creative wrestlers, they had all these really good moves. And then I realized, like, oh, that's you know, Gregory Helms' moves that they're doing. So you watched the superhero gimmick, right, that he did? I mean, was it good? Did you like it? Is he worthy of being in the Hall?
Yeah, I like Gregory Helms. The three count thing was pretty bad, but, you know, good on him to be able to survive a pretty bad gimmick. And then, well, so the Hurricane gimmick came out of, like, he was, like, a big fan of Green Lantern. So he actually has a Green Lantern tattoo. And so I'm sure it has something to do with copyright being what it is. So he just came up with whatever character that he came up with. And then that was good. And then he was also able to get some airtime for Rosie, another Samoan,
yeah,
who was, like, the sidekick wrestler. But nah, he was pretty funny. Like he was entertaining, and then it was funny because like after he left WWE and became on the independent scene, I think he was one of these guys in like the early days of like the kind of angry shoot interviews. So like while he was like had this kind of funny like personality on wrestling, like online he was kind of like he's kind of an asshole. Like, not saying that in a bad way, but, like, he would shoot straight on, like, people from WWE that he thought were dicks or had done bad stuff. And
like, who are you talking about?
I don't remember because it was a long time ago when I was watching it, but, like, I just remember, like, you know, like, it was kind of one of those things, like, maybe him or two or three wrestlers sitting around talking about stuff, and, like, he pulled no punches, right? Like, if they got on somebody that he didn't like, he'd be like, yeah, fuck that guy, he did this. Yeah, I think he didn't like Shawn Michaels. I think he shot on Shawn Michaels pretty straight, mostly about Shawn Michaels being a dick, which is fair game for you know the time that he was there. But no, I thought he was good. He had a really good moveset too, which was kind of nice. It was at the time where they still kind of let these guys do some more risky moves.
So he had that crazy finisher, right?
And he called it the vertebraker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I know he had, like, a choke slam, too, right? Where he'd put, like, the thumb up and stuff and do the choke slam and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, how high did he reach in the WWE? I mean,
not too high. I mean, I don't even know if he got any belts. I'm trying to remember.
First of all, I liked his ring attire. I mean, I thought it was working, the green and black. And then he had the black, mask on and stuff and... I thought that worked really well.
That, and I thought also, too, like, just that one promo with The Rock was a really good promo, and it was kind of at a time where, like, Hurricane was gaining a little bit of momentum, and, like, we were really getting tired of The Rock, right? That was, like, he had a bunch of kind of stale promos. It was right around when he had, I think is maybe his best promo was when he sang in Sacramento.
Well, that's not his best promo, but his best promo at the time. His best promo.
I love that promo.
For that character that he was playing.
I love that promo. But I think it was like maybe the week after or somewhere right in that time when he had that thing with Hurricane. And like, you know, Rock essentially was talking smack about him, calling him the Hamburglar. But Hurricane shot straight back at him, and it was actually a very entertaining segment both ways. And I think Hurricane actually kind of parlayed that into a little bit of momentum for a while. So, you know, it ended up being short-lived. I think my Hurricane knowledge is not super sharp right now. I think that he kind of did something to get fired where, like, he got caught, like, with a DUI maybe. Don't quote me on this, like, I'm not trying to run down the guy. I like him. I'm just saying I can't.
DUI gate?
The Dewey, yeah. So I don't know what it was. It was something like that. And then I kind of, just a bad time. It was like one of those kind of things where, you know, if he was like a main guy, he would have been able to survive it. But because he was lower down the card, then it made it easy for him to be let go. But I thought the guy was a really good worker. And, you know, it was kind of cool that you had this kind of small little contingent in that time of guys that had come out of North Carolina, like when the Hardys were hot. You had him, and then there was the other really small guy that was in Three Count, too. That,
yeah, and he started having, like, crazy hair and makeup on and stuff.
Yeah, and I didn't really care for that guy. But I thought, like, you know, it was a pretty cool thing. I think you had these probably all these kids that grew up in North Carolina were probably watching wrestling, like, right when the when it was Horseman Country.
Well, what was different from being in North Carolina and being in New York?
Well, when I was in North Carolina, there was tractors and rakes and hoes, but up in New York, we just had the hoes.
Very good, very good. I threw that out
there. Thought you were gonna say right.
Yeah.
but no, it's like I thought it was kind of cool.
Motherfucker,
what? Basically, they all have hoes, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, there was this hotbed of wrestling in that area, and, like, those guys kind of really kind of grew up in that little cradle and made it. So I always thought there was that kind of cool aspect that a bunch of those guys had made it out of there. Kind of like how, like, a lot of guys, you know, Canada's always pumping out wrestlers, but sometimes it's kind of cool when you get these, like, group of guys that came through the same kind of, like, Canadian system and independence at the same time and made it, like, Edge and Christian. And I thought, like, to, like, a much lesser degree, like, the Hardy Boys and like, Shane Helms and those guys all kind of came through in that same kind of way. So, it was, like, a kind of a cool connection. But,
Nice innovative style, a lot of high-flying, really pushing the bill in terms of what you can do in the air, and even, like, with the Vertebreaker and stuff. That Vertebreaker was a hot move. Yeah. I mean, it was a cool move to watch, very dangerous, but it kind of contrived at the same time. But, yeah. So, what, for the wrestling fan that we've been talking about this whole show, what match should they watch on the WWE Network? You don't care about the dead air right now, do you?
Well,
oh, here we go. He's looking up again.
You threw me off because now you put it to WWE Network, because I was going to say, if you asked me anything about what match to watch, I was going to say go find that Tanahashi and Okada match, because that thing was money.
So let's talk about that match.
All right. So, yeah, it's just kind of fun watching New Japan. This match is, like, a couple years old, but it's a throwback to, like, 80s kind of matches where they have as much time as they need to tell a story. It's got that really slow start, so, you know, nothing but chain wrestling for the first 5-10 minutes. But, like, these guys, like, just, like, build and build. The athleticism is there. The psychology's there. Like, they're still kind of flashy, right? You can tell, you know, there's the language barrier. And it's kind of cool that they do it with the English announce team. But, like, all the elements that you want to have in a match is there. Like, athleticism, like, good mat base, like, wrestling, some brawl, high-flying, you know, these guys doing, like, putting their bodies on the line. And then you get to see, like, a full 45-minute match where it's all drawn out. It's like there's nothing that's rushed in there. And like, knowing, like, they built it up pretty well, knowing, like, Okada had been the champion and then had lost the belt back to, like, he had taken it from Tanahashi and lost it from Tanahashi, and now he was going to get it again. And it's like, that's an element that, you know, you haven't seen since Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. So Ric Flair and Luda, right, where the same guys are trading this belt back and forth, and I think it's a good thing. It's like, it leads to, you don't necessarily know who's going to win. Like, I knew who was going to win because I knew what the result was, but, like, if I was watching it live as it's happening, it's like, you know, it's just a total coin toss on who's going to win these matches.
And you're not watching a match and having the commentary team talk about a different angle that's not related to the match, right?
Yeah, or not know what any of the moves are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not talking so much about the great team comprised of Tony Schiavone and who's the other guy? Tanay?
No, yeah. I was referring to Cole.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, or you know, having the king, like, talk about whatever the hell he's talking about.
Hey!
Make a bunch of outdated references and jokes that make no sense.
Hey! Whoa!
Yeah, no, it was good. I really enjoyed that match. And so, you know, definitely gave me that feeling that, you know, if I'm getting bored with what I'm watching with WWE and it's really making me mad, I'm looking forward to whatever's going to be on Access TV on Friday more than I am SmackDown right now.
Yeah, and that's, I'm really looking forward to part of the thing. So on Fridays I bartend. And then after I bartend, I usually have like a shot or something like that. And then I get to come home and like watch SmackDown. But I'm really looking forward to this Friday because it's at 8 p.m. So when I get home, I get to watch some wrestling that I kind of grew up enjoying. And I've seen some Japanese matches, but I've never really seen like a whole Japanese match or different Japanese matches, like three or four at a time or whatever. So it's nice. It'd be nice to kind of see that style again and just go from there. I mean, just have week upon week of Japanese matches. And if they're showing older matches that, you know, that were classics and stuff, it's going to be fun to see. And it'll kind of take me back to what I liked about WCW is that you could watch those old time matches. And I saw them while they were going on. There's a different brand of storytelling. And even, like, the crowds and stuff were really good. And then at that time with WCW, yeah, you had Shivani, but Shivani didn't have as much leeway as he did during the Monday Night Wars, where he was really terrible. And you'd have, like, say, like, Dusty Rhodes, you know, as a second commentator or whatever, and that really made the commentary team. And you'd have Jim Ross, too. So, and I'm looking forward to it. So, we're at Moose Kill number 95. I have my boy, Better Have My Jones Under, I'm Bad News Ramen. And we will check you out next week, and hopefully there'll be no more snowstorms where we could actually watch a WWE product and see what the fallout is. But let's be happy. You know, let's smile.
I'm happy.
I care.
You know what always makes me happy?
What's that?
Fake press.
Very good.
And if he speaks to you, you know what to do. Pretend to be scared and answer his questions.
I don't have to pretend. I'm scared.
Well, there's a first time for everything.
You sure will come. It's getting late.
You'll come all right.
Doesn't matter how late it is, we'll be here waiting.
What's that? Where had peeked behind the curtain?
I'll do more heat and preach nonviolence. He about to start speech, come on, silence. On one starry night, I saw the light. Heard a voice that sound like Barry White. Said, sure you're right. Don't let me find out who tried to bite. They better off going to fly a kite in a firefight during tornado time with no coat and I caught you. Wrote the book on rhymes, a note from the author.
Come back here!
Got a breadwinner style to get an inner child to feel a smile. And that's no exaggeration. The doctor told the patient, it's all in your imagination, Negro. Ah, what do he know about the buttery flow? He need to cut the ego. Tripping. To date, the metal fellow been ripping flow since New York plates was ghetto yellow with broke blue writing. This is too exciting. Folks leave out the show feeling truly enlightened. They say the villain been spitting enough lightning. The rock shot the boogie down to Brighton. All right, then.
Wake up, huh? You've been dreaming a bit. And I got bruises to prove it.
It was all a dream?
You're not dead?
Not that I heard. Am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to?
Yes, it was all a dream. It was so real.